back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show. So happy you've joined us on this Saturday morning here in Milwaukee and wherever you may be listening around the country on replay and in studio video replay. Let's talk about making vinegar. Now, there are two types of vinegar in the store. There is what's called white vinegar, and then there's called apple cider vinegar.
That would be the raw vinegar.
That would be the raw vinegar. Now, let's define both of them, if you can, before we get into how we can make our own vinegar.
So regular white vinegar, or next to it on the shelf, is the it's more of the processed. There's apple cider vinegar, too, which is similar, but it's not raw. So it's going to be the stuff that's usually in a plastic jug.
It's a brown tinted color.
Yeah, that's the apple cider
vinegar.
It looks
like a tea.
And then white vinegar as well. And
white vinegar is processed by corn.
Yeah, it's corn.
It's a corn-based product.
Right. So it's still acidic. It's still very useful in canning. If you're ever canning anything and it says to use apple cider vinegar or white vinegar, you're going to want to use that. The stuff that's, you go there, look at the bottom of the shelf.
El Cheapo.
That's what you want to use. However, raw vinegar or fermented vinegar is usually in a glass container. It's a little bit more costly, and it'll say raw on it, and it usually says organic or something like that. There's a certain brand that
right.
most people are familiar with, but it's the raw vinegar. And this has the fermentation. It usually will say, like, with the mother on it.
And the mother is the microbial basis of
right.
the creation of that vinegar start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the benefits, people feel that there's many benefits to apple cider vinegar. They'll clean their home with it. They'll drink it. I put every morning in my smoothie, my breakfast smoothie.
Reduces heartburn.
It reduces heartburn. They say it helps if you are feeling more alkaline. It helps you become more alkaline, I guess. So
Adjust your pH in your body.
Yeah, so it's definitely good for you. A lot of people swear by it during flu season. They say that it boosts their immune system. I'm not making these promises, but I do know that
it does fix the heartburn.
It does fix the heartburn.
I've had that, and you take about a teaspoon of it; it'll knock you to your knees. That raw vinegar, but it instantly cleanses and reduces the heartburn that you have.
It's basically, people are like, "Well, that's acidic, isn't that bad?" But it's like fighting fire with fire. That acid.
We're not talking drinking gallons here.
No. Please, I don't even know how anybody could drink a gallon of that. But definitely, just a tablespoon or something or a teaspoon is good for the heartburn.
So how do we talked about the store bought? We talked about the El Cheapo. We talked about the raw. Now, if we're going to make our own vinegar at home, what different kinds of vinegar can we make, and what is the process in which we need to
do? Sure. So you can make it with apple scraps, pear scraps, or pineapple scraps.
That's it. No other.
That's it.
You can't do tomatoes or any kind of other stuff like that.
And it takes a couple months. So if you are going apple picking, maybe not today, but anytime, and you're like, I have all these apple scraps, I made pie, I made this, that, and the other thing, you can do this. And it's pretty simple. So what you do is you take like a half-gallon jar.
Well, it doesn't have to be like clean apples. I mean, if you have an apple that's or a pear that has splashed on the pavement, you can cut the bad portion off or use the core.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be like pristine apples or pears.
No, because you're basically going to ferment it.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, you're going to take a jar.
So you have the peels, the cores, the tops, whatever. So that's what you're going to use. And you take a jar. You want to kind of cut the stuff to all about the same size.
Right. You don't have to. You can just use the whole pear. You don't have to specifically use the pear, the cores, or the skins, or the.
Right. But that's.
Okay.
It's something to get rid of the scraps.
Right.
But you can use the whole pear. So you're going to take a jar, and you want it, if you want a lot, you're going to probably maybe do a couple jars. You don't have to use a certified mason jar, but it needs to be, something that you can get you can put like a cloth or coffee filter or something over the top. So what you want to do, because you don't want stuff to get in
there. A bucket's not really recommended in this situation.
No. Something either ceramic or glass.
Okay.
So then you put all your scraps in there, and then you're going to fill it with water. You want to use filtered water, so it doesn't have to be.
So no chlorine?
No chlorine.
Okay, so for those who are in the city who has chlorated water, what you want to do is you want to figure out how much you need. Put it in a bowl or a jar or a pitcher and let it set for 12, 24 hours. That chlorine will evaporate out of the water, and then it's safe to use. So that's how you get rid of that instead of having to getting a water filter.
Right.
Allow it to evaporate, and then you're good to go.
Right. Exactly. So you want to do that, and then you just cover it. Now you're going to take put a couple tablespoons. If it's about a half-gallon jar, you're going to put at most a quarter cup of sugar, because that's going to help start the fermentation process. If you have some raw apple cider vinegar, you can put a couple tablespoons of that in there as well.
And what that's going to do is the enzymes in that already created vinegar is going to help jumpstart the process in your batch that you're creating now.
Right. So then you're going to fill cover up with water, make sure everything's submerged, and then you're going to put a coffee filter, cheesecloth,
breathable material
over the top of it, and we take rubber bands, and that's what we do. And then we stir it. You stir it once to twice a day.
And you don't want to fill it all the way to the brim because of the reaction that the breakdown process, the sugar is eating all the...
Yeah, you want to leave about an inch at the top.
It does overflow. Mm-hmm. It will overflow. So you want to be sure you have some headspace or gap there at the top. Just a warning.
So you're going to do this for about a week. And you'll start twice a day. You'll start to smell it. It's going to smell. And you want to do this in a room temperature area away from direct sunlight. And if you see any mold, then unfortunately you have to dump it. So that's why you want to keep stirring it, because it's going to prevent that mold from happening.
The turnover of that material.
Right. So then once you get to about a week, you'll smell it. It's going to start to smell like apple wine, essentially. It's going to start to smell kind of boozy.
Mm-hmm.
So then at this point, what you're going to do is you're going to take cheesecloth or paper towels, and you're going to dump it into a bowl or something so that it filters out. So if you have like a mesh strainer, you can do that.
So you're taking you're going to separate the liquids from the solids.
Mm-hmm.
And get rid of the solid portions and compost that. And then once you separate that liquid, you're going to put that liquid back in the jar that it came from.
Right. Okay. So you're going to rinse the jar out. You don't have to scrub it or anything like that, but just rinse it out so there's not like chunks in there. And then you're going to, maybe you're going to put it in a smaller jar, depending on how much liquid you have. And then you can put the cheesecloth or whatever on top of it, and you just stir it every day, and it's going to ferment. And it's going to go from smelling boozy to all of a sudden it's going to smell like vinegar.
Almost overnight.
Not overnight, but in a couple days.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes, if it's a large batch.
And room temperature is greatly determined on how quickly this occurs, too.
Right. So ideally you want to be about at
average home temperature.
Average home temperature, 70 to 72 degrees. But that's what happens. And all of a sudden you're like, we sniff ours every day. And then all of a sudden just smells like vinegar.
Now, once the process has got to a vinegar stage, what do you do with it then? Do you have to put it in the fridge? Is it shelf stable? What's the procedure at this point?
It's shelf stable. You can put it in the fridge if you want, or you can just leave it on the shelf. You want to cover it. You always want to make sure anything that you're doing is covered, because you don't want flies or something getting in there, dust, particles, what have you. So you want to make sure you cover it at this point with the lid for the jar, or if you were doing this in some sort of crock, you want to make sure you're putting it into other jars or bottles.
So, and then once the batch, let's say you do two or three batches in different time periods, once they all get to that vinegar stage, then can we incorporate them all together so we can finish filling a certain jar full?
Yeah, you can mix.
We don't have to keep them designated to their own batch type of thing. But
but
you can't mix during the procedure. You have to wait until the completion is done,
right,
and then you can mix them together.
Right.
And again, this can take anywhere from what, a couple of months to a couple of weeks to several months.
Yeah, it depends on how much it is and how much you have.
Now,
and then
with this vinegar, this is not vinegar in which you can use for safe canning. You can use this vinegar for anything else you want, excluding the canning procedure, because you don't know what percentage of acidity that vinegar is at unless you get a test kit and go through all those steps.
Right. So you can use it for anything else, but for canning, you don't know if the acidity is going to be consistent. So you want to make sure that you're being mindful of that.
Now, we did this last year. We've got a pear tree in the front yard, and the pear tree kind of sets half on the grass and half on the overhang. So when the pears fell on the pavement, most of them were shattered but squashed, so they weren't edible to eat. But we were able to get the portions cut off that were usable, and we created the fruit scrap vinegar with it, and we created we produced or made about 5.5 gallons of vinegar last year.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot, yes.
It is. And we've given some away to friends and family.
And you use some every day in your
yeah.
smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the heartburn, if I have it, I'll use it, that type of thing.
I use it to clean my stinky sandals the other day,
yeah,
too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But it's a very easy way to make it. And just, you know, you need a jar, some either pear, apple, or pineapple scraps. So if you have the pineapple, whenever you get it at the store, you got the skin that you pulled off of it, or you can make some pineapple vinegar instead of just throwing it in the trash. So there you go. And then some sugar, very affordable, very easy to make your own vinegar.